Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
That just scares me. Hey, it is really good to be here with y'all. Again, my name is Seth, and I'm the pastor here, and I just want to, just kind of dive in with a reading, actually, from Matthew. No. Not Matthew, Luke chapter 2, just seven short verses here, and tomorrow night I'm going to pick this story up. So this is the first seven verses. It's kind of the classic Christmas reading, and then tomorrow night we're just going to kind of flow right from that even a little bit more, okay? So this is how it starts. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. You've probably heard that story before. That's kind of where we're going to camp out this morning. You're catching us in our fourth week of our series that we're calling Who Are We and Who Is He? As we look at that question of who are we? We've basically been asking, the first week we talked about how we are a people, okay? We are a people. And so as we've been reflecting on that, we've been looking in a mirror and we've just kind of been looking, who are we? Well, we are a people. And then the second week that we talked about how we are a people who are favored or highly favored by God. Remember that? And we've been just kind of like trying to bring this all together. Who are we? Well, we're a people. We do life together. We support each other. We care for each other. We walk with each other. We walk together in the light. And then that second week was we are highly favored by God. And we looked at that. We talked about kind of what that meant. And now as we're kind of switching over here a little bit, who are we as we look in the mirror? We don't just look in the mirror. We're also looking in the manger, right? We're looking in the manger too. And so we ask that question, well, who is he? This little baby in the manger, who is he? And last week we actually, I hope I did this well. I hope this makes sense. I kind of laid out the case that when we look in the manger, we see God. Remember Sean Connery, God? We see God. Remember that? I don't know. I always get a kick out of that every time. But we look in the manger and we see God. And I hope I did that in a way that was more than simply like, without reason, with just kind of like this kind of blatant, like, yeah, I believe he's God. Like, there's something really appropriate about that, actually. But last week, I really tried to even give like a philosophical, almost kind of a way of thinking about that this can be God, and this actually can be believed to be God. And I kind of laid out there like this, what does that mean then for me if that's true? And ultimately, my big push last week was to get you to do a little bit of research and a little bit of thinking around this idea. Because if Jesus is claiming to be God, you want to give that a little bit of thought and energy. And is that true or whatever that might be? So especially if you're kind of skeptical, my encouragement to you was go do some thinking around that idea. And go kind of dig in yourself. Because that's a big claim, right? That's a big claim. So as we look in the mirror, what do we see? When we look in the manger, what do we see? And today we're picking up there too. Who is he? And when we look in the manger last week, that was a big deal. Like, he's God. And I kind of came at you fast. Well, as we look in today, what do we see? Who is he? And the big thrust for today is when we look in the manger, we see a baby. We see a baby. Let's pray, and then I'm going to jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray now that you'd open up our hearts, not just our ears. God, some of us need our ears opened, yeah, but some of us need our hearts opened. And some of us don't even know exactly how to do that because, God, we don't know how to, I hear with my heart? So God, we invite you into this time, invite you to open us up so that we'd receive what you're telling us today. And maybe we'll hear something a little different than the person next to us. But that alone is signified like that you're in this. And so I just pray, God, that you would work in a way this morning that we can't, I wouldn't even be able to dream up or anybody be able to dream up. Work mightily, God, in us, through us. Like, do a work in us that's just life-changing, that shapes us, that gives us maybe a new perspective or gives us some thinking around who you really are and what that means for us. God, I pray that you'd help me right now just to just kind of calm me down and just kind of get me focused on what you've kind of put in front of me this past week. And let that now come out of my mouth in a way that it's not even your, we don't even hear you. We don't hear Seth. We hear you, oh God. That's what we want to hear this morning. So please do that kind of work right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my question to kind of kick us off here is, why do we like weddings so much? As you guys, now that's an odd question, but I brought with me a box. And this morning I brought with me a box, and you probably thought it was like just a present, okay? But it is not a present. This baby, and this almost kind of makes me nervous, but this is my wife's wedding dress. Boxed up, sealed up, up by the candles. You know, how stupid can he be, right? This is my wife's wedding dress that we have moved and moved and moved and wrapped and wrapped. And I think, like, this is like, you know, I don't get it. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand the whole wedding dress thing because I think now it stays in a box until Jesus comes back. I think. I don't know. That's what I've been told. Like, it just stays in there. And so as much as I want to be like, hey, here's my wife's wedding dress, for me it's like, here's a box. And I was thinking, like, yeah, that's all this is to me, is like just a box. But in there is truly my wife's wedding dress that we've been carrying around faithfully for a lot of years. And, you know, these don't go in the U-Haul. That's the real, you know, that's the bummer. You know, this has got to go up in the cab with, you know, this doesn't go in the back. Anyway, I don't get it. But this is my wife's wedding dress. Now, why do I have my wife's wedding dress in here? Well, we love weddings, don't we? We love weddings. There's something about weddings we love, but why? Why do we like a wedding so much? You know, there's just, to me, have you ever listened to like Jim Gaffigan or something like that, his bit on weddings and just how we pretend like we're just these, you know, kings and queens, you know, for one day and it's just all downhill from there. It's just hilarious. Go take a look at it. It's just hilarious sometimes. But like, you know, I mean, it's just all make-believe almost feel to it. Like, oh, I'm going to put on my princess, you know, jersey thing, dress. And you know, it's just all this stuff and stuff. But there's something so special about a wedding. And what is that? You know, as we look up at the altar and we see this bride and this groom, we start almost kind of like just thinking about them, and we start thinking about how awesome life is going to be for them, don't we? And we start just kind of dreaming, and we're smiling, and we kind of have a twinkle in our eyes. We're thinking about, man, they're going to be so cute, and their marriage is going to just be so great, and I just love it. And Jeffrey and Julie, our worship guy here, and his wife Julie, now they just got married a little bit ago. And like when they were up there, I got to do their wedding. It was so cool because they were just so perfect. It was just, oh, this is going to be great. You know, like life is so good. And I'm thinking about that, and we oftentimes think about that in the context of like, I've been married 10 years, and we're just kind of keep carrying this baby around, you know? And I wonder if some of that, like, as we look up at the couple, I wonder if we have a thought kind of like this oftentimes. Like, maybe they'll make it. Maybe they're going to make it. Like, I'm struggling with my wife. I'm divorced. I'm separated. I'm this. But maybe they can make it. Maybe they're going to have, like, the greatest marriage ever. And we just kind of, like, start living almost, kind of, like, vicariously, like, through them a little bit. And we're just like, this is going to be, wow, maybe them. Do we do I think we do that sometimes with little babies. I think we sometimes do that with little babies. Like a little baby is born. And I can still remember when I got four kids, and I can still remember like when my kids were born or like they were first coming. Like I remember thinking to myself, I just remember thinking like, what are they going to do? What are they going to enjoy? And I remember thinking like, my kids are going to love to hunt, right? Like we do that. We project onto them the things we love to do and are so fun in this world. And we're like, my kids are going to love to hunt and fish. And my kids are going to love to like ride motorcycles. And oh, this is just going to be awesome. But then sometimes we project onto them things we haven't gotten to do, right? Like we project on, I can still remember when my oldest was being born. I just remember thinking, it is going to be awesome when I get him into motocross. Like doing the dirt bikes and stuff and jumping. I never got to do that. I never got a dirt bike as a kid. And I'm like, I want to get Core a dirt bike and have him jump in. It's going to be so cool, like living through him. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's going to be cool. My kids like playing football. I never got to play football. It'll be so cool going to the games and like living through them. And sometimes we look at even like little babies or we look at the couple up front and we're like, there, right there is a fresh start. There's a fresh start. Right there. And we get to look at it and be like, that's going to be so cool, and that's going to be the coolest fresh start, and they're just going to be awesome. And we start to kind of think that way a little bit about just this idea of being fresh. It's going to be fresh. And we do this even with more serious stuff, don't we? And we even do this as grandparents. We look at our grandkids in the same way. We think about things like even the Christmas gifts, right? The stuff that your kids are getting for Christmas. We're like, man, I didn't get that, but it'll be cool that they get it. So I get to play with it. Booyah. That's going to be awesome. And then sometimes it's more serious. It's things like I did drugs. I did drugs and I just don't want that for this little baby. Like maybe he or she will grow up and not do that. Like I was addicted to this thing. But maybe they have a chance to not grow up with that same addiction. Or maybe I have been really hurt. Maybe I went through something really terrible, or I'm still going through something so terrible. And we look at our kids sometimes and we're just like, but they don't have to. That'll be so good that they don't get hurt. And I just don't want them. And we look at it, and it's like this fresh start. My marriage is falling apart, but maybe they can do it. I think we bring some of this same mindset. And I wonder if it's even by design by God himself to the manger scene. Like we show up at the manger and we look in. We look into the manger and we see this little baby. Think about that. Why do we see a baby? You know what I mean? Like why do we see a baby? Why would God work salvation and power and I'm going to save the world through this, through a baby? Why doesn't it, you know what I mean? And I've done this in my messages before because it just doesn't make sense to me. Because I think to myself, I think like, what makes sense is like, you know, you send Optimus Prime. You remember that message a long time ago? You remember when I had Optimus Prime up there? Like, that's what makes sense. You send Optimus Prime to save the world. Like, you know, lasers and bullets, missiles flying all over. That's how you save a world. But God shows up, and we look in and we see a baby. Why? Why do we see a baby? Now, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of messages that honestly can be kind of thought about through this. But as I was kind of thinking and talking with some other people, I was thinking, I think there's something about a fresh start. I think there's something about a fresh start. I think there's something about this little baby that we looked in and we ask a question. We ask a question like, what can he do? What could he do? See, we ask that of our own kids, like, what could they be? Maybe you'll be somebody famous. Maybe she'll get it right. And we're looking at Jesus and we ask a similar question. We're like, what could he do? What's he going to do? Now you might ask that actually with kind of different ways of asking that exact same question. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? What does Jesus do? See? What does Jesus do? We live this side of him, right? I mean, what does Jesus do? As Jesus shows up as this little baby, what does he do? What does he make happen? See, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, in Jesus Christ, catch this, in Jesus Christ, we end up seeing someone who lives out life, in a way that we can't. In Jesus, in this little baby, we begin to see someone who does live out life in a way that we can't. He makes it. See, we can't, and we know we can't because we've already been there, done that, and already have seen we can't. I can't. I can't get there. I can't make it. I can't. I can't. Have you ever caught yourself saying, I can't do this anymore? I can't. I can't. I can't go another step. I can't be given one more. I can't. I can't. I can't. You see that? And this little baby shows up and we look in and we say, man, could you? In the Bible, this is what they've been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years. Every king that comes on the scene, they're wondering, is this the one? Could he be the one who helps us and bring a reign that lasts forever? Could he? And time after time after time, they fail and they fail and they fail and they fail. And time after time, they're like, this could be the one. Fail. This could be the one. Fail. And then this little baby comes and we ask, could he? Does he? Could this be someone who can actually live in such a way that I can't? I can't do anymore. The self-help books. I've read them all. I've tried. I've engaged. I've reached out. And I've just said, God, I'll do this for you, and I'll do this for you, and I'll do this for you, and I can't. And you already know you can't because you have a past. And you're like, I know, I can't. I've tried like a million times. And we look in and we see Jesus, and we wonder, can he? Could he? What does Jesus do, guys? What does Jesus do? As I was thinking about that, I mean, there's so many things. He resists temptation to perfection. He doesn't fall trap to temptation. He brings healing into situations. He casts out demons. He comes onto the scene to show care and compassion into the most difficult situations. In a kind of all-encompassing way, he begins to walk out the way of love. He walks the way of love. He walks it out. He walks out love perfectly in a way that we can't. Because we already know, we've tried. You've already made mistakes. You've already screwed it up. We have Jesus in Luke 23. We have Jesus from the cross itself, loving even his enemies, loving even us. This is why he goes to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Holy smokes, do you get that? How huge that is? He walks out love perfectly, even of his enemies, even you and me. Bringing love even into the most who knows what of our lives. He walks it out. But it's cool because he doesn't just walk it out for himself. He brings us into it. Now this is huge. This is huge. You got to get this. Because Jesus isn't just up on the altar beginning something new and then walks it out perfectly and we stay in the pew and we're just kind of like, cool. Jesus doesn't just, as a baby, like begin to start something new and then live that out and we're kind of just stay over here and we're kind of like, cool. That's not what he does. See, the fresh start of Jesus, the fresh, you can start new, is actually brought to you from Jesus himself. He actually, what Jesus starts to do is he begins to live out this life that you and I can't live out. Yeah, that's true. But instead of just leaving us hanging, he says, I want to bring you in close. I want to bring you in close to what I am doing. And yes, I'm living this out perfectly, but I want you to have that life. And that's what he does. Look at how he does it. Some of you are going to catch this a little quicker. Some of you aren't. Let me just kind of try to teach through it here. Listen, this is my main point. Jesus gives us the fresh start. He provides a fresh start for you, for me. That's what Christmas is all about. As we look in the manger, you see a baby, yeah, but I look in the manger this past week and I see a fresh start. I see brand new. I see brand spanking new little baby. I see fresh start that's given to me by the one who comes to live it out perfectly and then offers it to you and to me. Look at how he does it. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4. This scripture is saturated with baptism. Look at this. Romans chapter 4. It's chapter 6, verse 4. Let me just quick find it here. Booyah, booyah, booyah. Romans 6, verse 4. Check it out. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Brand spanking new. How? You have to be connected to Christ. He offers you to get close to him. He offers you to have his life be transferred to your life. You actually receive all, he offers you everything that he has accomplished. How does that happen? It comes through baptism. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. This is baptism language. Did you just hear it? I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer even live, but Christ lives in me, through me. The life now I walk out in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. What is that? That's a new birth. Have you guys ever heard around here in the South, born again? Hey, you ever been born again? You ever hear that one? That's what they're talking about. The born again stuff. To go into the waters of baptism, to have faith in Jesus Christ is to be born again. And Nicodemus, the guy Jesus is talking with there, he's like, how? How's that possible? How can a man go back into his mom and cut? No, no, no. This is going to happen through the Spirit. It's going to happen through the water and the Word, baby. And when that comes, listen, you're going to be born again. Catch this, guys. And when you're born again, how are you born? Fresh, brand new, new start. See, when we enter into baptism, we enter into Christ's death. We enter into his resurrection. We are given his life. What does Paul say there? I don't even live anymore. Christ lives in me. Holy smokes, are you following that? Do you get that, what I'm saying? You can have brand newness of life. You can have the very life of Jesus in Jesus through faith in Jesus to be born again into that. Holy smokes. That's huge. That's huge. That's an entirely new life. That's a whole new life. It's offered to us this Christmas. It's offered to us every day. As we wake up daily and we repent of our sin and we put to death the old flesh and we say, screw that, I'm done. I want the life that's in Jesus Christ. I want the life that's given to me in my baptism. I want the life that's given to me in His work, in His mighty deed, in His coming to me as a baby. This is daily we do this. Daily we receive this gift. This isn't a one-shot deal as it's taught so often around here. It's not like a come on up and we'll take care of it, right? This is daily stuff. Now listen, if you've never had that happen before, you've never been baptized, you've never given your life to Jesus, or He's not worked that in you, listen, He's doing that today. He wants that for you today. So come chat with me. We'll talk after or whatever. Let's talk. Let's have that conversation, because what's on the line is a fresh start. You can't. And what I love about being able to say that with so much authority is that I know you know that. You know you can't. And you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried, and some of you are still trying, and still trying harder, and harder, and harder. I'm going to try to figure this, and you can't. And so when we look in the manger, we don't see someone who demands more, and more, and more, and more, and more. Pick it up, come on, change it around, let's go. It's a little baby. Just this little baby. He's pooping, crying. Wow. Yeah. Two of you understand what I'm saying. I get it. But listen, I love this message because it's for you. It's for me. Brand new start. It's offered to you today. Get close to Jesus. He's close to you. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't miss out on that fresh stuff. Don't miss out. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, it's a tough message. It's one that's filled with mystery. It's filled with wonder. God, there are so many things in this room. There are so many things on our hearts. We have made mistakes. We've done drugs. We've hurt those that are closest to us. We struggle with identity issues. God, we have said things that are so hurtful. God, we have been hurt so bad. And we have gone through incredibly hard things. We've experienced some of that. And we don't know how to forgive. We've been addicted to things. We've struggled with things. God, in this room, there is so much brokenness. And Jesus, that's why you've come. You have come into the darkness of this world to bring light, to shine light into the dark crevices of our hearts. And shining some light on it can be difficult, God, but please shine on our hearts the things that we need exposed, so that we might just confess to you and receive from you yet again the life, the fresh start, the newness of life that we have in you. Not in us, in you. And through faith in you, Jesus, by putting our faith and our trust and our hope in you, I thank you that you provide us with what we need the most. Not more of a to-do list. Not more of a, what do you got? Hey, come on, pick it up, man. Let's go. But instead you come to just provide us with a brand new start. Jesus, help us to receive that daily. We thank you for your forgiveness that we get to receive from you even right now. And it's really one of the coolest things I get to do here. And as we continue just kind of this prayer, I want you to receive right now the good news that Jesus loves you. He has come for you. And he saves you. Receive right now from him the forgiveness that's yours. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, your sins, it's gone. It's taken upon himself, and he passes on to you his righteous life. It's yours today. Receive that. Just receive his forgiveness. God, we thank you. Oh, how we thank you. I praise you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just stand up and let's just sing this next song. And let's sing it in the context of receiving what God has just done for you. True joy is yours. Maybe not in your situation, but in Jesus, there's joy right now. It's yours.